a really good thing that intro is so awesome, because I've heard it like four times already today, and you haven't heard it once, the other people on the call, so.
No, we heard the sounds of silence.
Terrifying silence. Well, we're back because, finally, Dragonborn is on PC.
Yay!
About time, stupid exclusivity agreement.
Yeah, so we don't care about whatever they talked about on the podcast when they were console people. Console people can go away. And also, PlayStation 3 people, can they rejoice yet, or did they delay it again?
Yes. Soon. Well, a little bit longer, but they will be soon getting everything.
A little bit longer. Like you believe them at this point.
they're in their pre-rejoicing phase right now.
So close.
We have a date. It might actually hold this time.
So close, but so far away.
Yeah.
But they get all three DLC this time.
Yes, everything.
I might have just the sound effect for that one.
Warning, warning, bullshit alert.
Danger, Will Robinson, yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
So this is primarily going to be about Dragonborn, the PC experience, quote unquote, of which I had not one single crash. Very un-Bethesda-like.
Yeah, no crashes for me either.
Well, I actually stopped having crashes, and I finally figured out what was... I think I figured out what was causing them. It's, I got D3D9 from Nexus, and that solved my whole problem. Not to mention the fact that the game started running more smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the game ran fine. I think the area even looked pretty good on my cheap Dell.
I don't know how much my weather mods affected the place, but... Well, if you liked the bright, shiny snow of Skyrim, you're going to love the dull gray of Souls theme. Yeah.
Welcome to Morrowind. It's full of ash and maybe some ash and also ash.
Speaking of which...
It's more kind of orangey for me than gray,
Or did the people at Rockraven settle on the wrong side of the island?
Yes, they did.
They settled where the ebony was. That's where it was originally in Bloodmoon,
Well, you know, have the mine there, but then go and live on the nice side.
Yeah. Well, there's actually pretty mossy areas.
Yeah, but see, then you have to commute to work through ash spawn and bears.
That's a convenient tunnel that Marek is, you know, turned into a temple. You can just go straight through.
Yeah, they're already tunneling underground. When you go in, you go under a little, like, tunnel thing. Just
the
quick,
bulwark,
so, yeah.
The bulwark.
Yeah.
Better known as the place where dragons like to attack and crash and get pincushioned by the Redoran guards. I just yell at it, the dragon falls down, the Redoran guards kill it, I welcome, go, sweet soul.
Well, no, that wasn't what happened to me. Every time a dragon attacked the bulwark, I'd shout at the damn thing, and it would land over on the far side of the hill that's just behind the bulwark. It would never land in the stupid town. It would always fly over the hill and come down.
Well, of course, it wants to self-preservation, get away from you so it can recover, because that's what was happening to me as well when I was trying to kill this the first serpentine dragon. And from the dragon wall, I would shout at it, and then it would fly up to the cliff where I'd have to climb up to it. And
yeah, it gets up there all the time. It's really annoying.
Yeah.
And, okay, so is anybody else playing on expert besides Michael and I, or are we the only two crazy people?
I think you're the only two crazy people.
When I'm using a Daedric bow and ebony arrows and it takes more than one shot for me to kill things from sneaking, I'm glad it's not on a higher level.
Really? You're having that much trouble? Because I use roughly the same gear, and I only use the Daedric arrows on one boss, and we'll talk about him later, hopefully.
Well, I save the Daedric arrows for dragons if they show up. But I'm using the 41 character.
Yeah, I'm at 46 now. I was 44 when I started.
I'm at 55.
I've got my level 51 expert level character in this game. I left my 78 guy out because when I played the 78 through on the Xbox, he just walked through it like a cakewalk.
Yeah, so here's our first tip. Don't go there probably under level 30. Because that would be in line with the original Blood Moon.
I think on the wiki it's about 38 level that you should go there. The cultists will show up at around level 38.
Okay, just a show of virtual hands. Who has completed the main quest line?
I have.
There's a main quest line? Well, you mean the quest wasn't get a house in Ravenrock?
Yeah, exactly. Now, actually, let's talk about getting the house from everyone. We've all got the house, right?
Yeah.
No, I didn't do that.
Oh, gosh.
What the hell did you
avoid? How did you
I actually
to
focused on something.
You sucked right into
sorta.
It, man.
Where
are you putting your stuff?
I sold it. I ran back to White Run, sold stuff, left stuff there, then went back. And you know how slow my computer loads, so you know each area. So I would then, like I said, I would fast travel to White Run, then get back to Solstheim because I didn't know who to talk to. I kept talking to the wife of Adriel, and I couldn't find Adriel. So I was like, screw it, I'm just going to go and do this the main quest. And then I got distracted by the treasure hunting and the little camp that was kicked out of their meat hall. And then
I approached that from
house.
The other direction, actually, the camp with the meat hall. Let's talk about the overall catch to get you in. This was, without a doubt, the most motivating catch I've ever had in Skyrim to get drawn into one of the sub stories. You know, some jerk sends some assassins after you to kill you, and then starts stealing the dragon souls when you kill dragons. I mean, I just hated the guy. I just wanted him gone.
Yeah, he was a real douchebag.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
It was obnoxious. He was like, "You're a false dragonborn." It's like, really, after all the crap I've gone through, you're gonna just come up and do that. That's crap.
And literally, I had been inside of Breezem. I was packing stuff to go, figuring, I wonder where I had a few quests I wanted to tie up on the mainland. I'm thinking, I'll go do one of those. They'll probably appear. Literally, walk out the front door. You're not the real Dragonborn. No, screw you guys.
Nice mask. Shame if something happened to the face beneath it.
And the rest of you beneath it.
See, I had Thanks trouble just getting nice that loot. To spawn. I had trouble getting them to spawn this time. I had to fast travel to about 6 or 7 cities before those idiots finally showed up and decided to berate me.
Wow.
Yeah, I think all you have to really do is just walk around for a while and eventually they'll show up. Because I was just running around Whiterun killing some giants and they just showed up.
One of the funniest experiences I had when I got there in Solstheim, so I went to the Earthstone. That was one of the first quests to investigate the Earthstone, but I ended up not doing that. I went somewhere else and then it finished it for me. But I went there anyway, and I was looking around, and you touch the Earthstone, and you sort of black out for a moment, then you reappear.
Tink.
That just cracked me up.
Whoops.
And now, every time I try to go to... Not every time, but it's like there's a chance every time you go to sleep now, you wake up in another stone. Yeah. That's how I found the Telvanni's area. I woke up in the Sunstone next to them. I was like, what
that
the hell
never
just
happened to me. I went, as soon as I figured out how to cleanse those stones, I went and cleansed all of them straight away because I really wanted to cut into that jerk's plans. I wanted to inconvenience him as much as possible.
Yeah, same here. And it was cool killing all the little demon things, and apparently each stone has a different power to gift you as well, which was cool.
What do you mean? Did I miss something? Power to give
you? Yeah, once you cleanse them, you can activate the stone, and then the stone gives you a power. If I can remember.
Can you have all of them, or do you have to only pick one?
I think you might have to do one at a time. I'm not sure.
Ah.
I think it's like the nocturnal powers. You get to pick one at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of powers you pick up from this DLC. Like, each one of those books gives you a power.
It's insane.
Oh, yeah. The books.
The black books are awesome, too.
Okay, let's talk about the Dremora in the room here. Amaeus Mora is the most awesome demon in all of Elder Scrolls ever. Maybe Shigaroth is up there as well. And it is awesome that he is the antagonist, the bad guy in this, because I really liked the... What's the name of that book that you get in Skyrim?
The Augmentinium.
Yeah, I really liked that quest. You know, he all sort of acts all scary, big black abyss. Ooh, I am evil. And then he gives you knowledge. Oh, yeah, you're real evil, blah, blah, blah.
So, and then you go to his homeland. His home dimension.
You get his homeland and you get tentacles. Get your ass slapped by tentacles
God.
Just walking around.
It's like a Call of Cthulhu showed up.
Yeah, Cthulhu. Yeah, that place is awesome as a... As a realm to go to, that is my absolute favorite now. Like, the kind of bending rooms and the tongue bridges, and it was all really cool.
really gross and nightmarish, man. That thumbs up to Bethesda for making a creeptastic place.
Mm-hmm. I agree. James, you said you could sneak through those places. I have about 100 sneak, and I've got lots of gear on that gives me even more sneak and sneak up the wazoo, and I just couldn't get through. And there are places where you have to kill something for the door to open.
Well, yeah, but what I mean is the Seekers, you don't always have to confront them because, one, they move really slow. Two, there's a fair amount of dark areas. And three, even if they detect you, if you don't want to combat them, you can run faster than them. You just run far enough away and get into darkness again. They're stupid, and they stop looking for you.
Except if you're in that one book where darkness hurts you.
Well, okay, yes, there is that. But besides that, the Seekers are pretty easy to avoid, and since they move so slowly, even on expert difficulty, if you get far enough away and you have a decent bow, you can take them down. What you have to remember is that you have to keep shooting at the same one, because the one will spawn more and more and more of them. They keep doubling. But you don't have to kill any of the ones except the original ones, and then the rest of them will go away.
Doubling?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
They create clones of themselves.
Yeah, they split like amoeba.
Yeah.
So I didn't notice. I just hacked them and they died. I didn't notice that they
doubled.
Treat
them like you would a slime in any other game, you know?
Okay.
If you're on expert difficulty, trust me, it's not a one-hit experience.
No, it's try and hide, keep distance, dodge their crazy attacks, shoot them in the head experience.
Even on not expert, it's not a one-shot hit.
Oh, if you power hit them with your sword.
Really?
Yeah. I got dragon armor.
The guy I took through on the Xbox, he had the Daedric armor, level 78, and smithed up to the wazoo, and basically he could just walk up to them with his second best weapon and stand there and yawn while he kicked the crap out of them. But with the character on the PC that I'm playing with pretty well smithed glass armor and sneak as high up as you can get, plus a whole bunch of pluses, they're not one-hit deaths, but they're pretty darn close.
My character, I've got enchanted gear on me that gets me 107% bonus to my bow, plus the 3x sneak attack. I think it's an ebony bow, so I haven't got to the Daedric bow yet, but pretty close. They should start spawning at the level I'm at now, so that'd be good. Because my blacksmithing is junk. I can't make stuff for squat.
I made mine.
My alchemy is just through the roof now. My enchanting and blacksmith, I just let them slide significantly in this playthrough. Decided I didn't care about them enough. It's just grindy.
I took blacksmithing up to 70 specifically so that I could get... Well, I took it to 60 so that I could smith up enchanted stuff. And then I took it up to 70 so that I could smith up the glass armor I'd made myself into legendary status.
So, block your ears, Mackie. The secret of the skull. I have a theory. Because they sort of say... they say that there's a secret, but they never reveal what the secret is. And this is really...
Yes, they did.
What?
The guy talked about it. He said it's how you listen to the wind and the earth and be one with the land. And we kept that from...
That's rubbish.
Irma.
I mean, anybody says that.
No, only the skull have said that.
No, there's only one thing that they knew that nobody else knew, and that was how to refine that special ore.
The skull room.
Yeah, that's the only thing they know that everybody else in the world doesn't know.
Right, because there's a subplot. There's the subplot, which if you screw it up, you don't get to play through. When you walk into the skull village after having done the initial part of the quest, you'll find two people talking about the blacksmith having disappeared. If you interrupt that conversation... You don't get the quest, and you'll never get to Smith's stall room. So what you do is you just stand there, let the stupid conversation play out, and then you talk to one of them. You'll get the quest to go find the stupid blacksmith. And there's a little subplot going on with the Thalmor. It turns out that what Michael's saying makes a lot of sense, because the Thalmor are specifically trying to torture the blacksmith to find out how to smith stall room.
The lore goes that the ancient Nords in the region, and they're the only Nords left there, encased their dead in this stuff. And you can see the evidence of that when you travel around. It's the only thing that I can think of that they know about that nobody else does. So,
do you think?
What
I was just wondering if you thought that maybe they faked out Herma by giving out false information that, like you said, they wanted to keep that a secret, so maybe they actually did keep that, managed to keep that a secret, because he was talking about stuff being handed from shaman to shaman, and the other guy, Baldur, is the blacksmith, and he's missing, so he would be the one to actually have that knowledge.
Yeah, I would. If you're going to keep a secret from the demon of knowledge, you would have to fake him out. The other thing is that what's clear here is that Mori is not the keeper of all knowledge. He is merely a demon who has collected a lot of knowledge. So
yeah, seems to want.
That's the true secret we learn from here, that he is a hoarder of knowledge, not a true master of knowledge. Okay, let's pull Maxie back in and avoid the main plot. You there?
Hello.
Yeah, we're not talking about main plot stuff anymore.
Okay.
We kind of weren't, but we sort of were.
Oh, good. Now we can discuss. I mean, James was saying jokingly beforehand that I was going, ooh, shiny at the edge, and they're pretty from a distance. Don't try to fight them, though. Ow, 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 ow. And they are freaking psychic. They're psychic. It does not matter how good your stealth is.
I did that mistake, too. I thought they were like a seeker or something, and apparently they're just innocent little critters that if you piss them off will gang up on you.
We're talking really about the goblins, the Ewoks.
Those guys
are
they were little fuckers in the first game too.
they can't really even hurt you, and I felt really bad killing them, but they didn't ever give me a choice. And let's go back to that one with the mead hall where a bunch of them have taken
that
over the mead hall
place.
That was very funny. And they're like, go and you're really strong, go and fetch our pig.
Yeah, they're the only ones in the whole island that know how to talk. I don't know, what is it? A massive
just the chief.
Of Nord Mead? Right, but is it that massive consumptions of Nord Mead teach them to talk?
No, he said he read a book, I think.
Ah, okay.
Anyway, he's the strongest of the clan, and he can talk, and you know, he asks you to do these things, then he tells you about the Nords that are attacking them. So I actually did this the opposite direction you, Scott. I'm not sure if you helped out the Reekling or not.
I did not help the Reeklings. I was actually looking for the Deathbrand treasure, and I saw a camp, and I thought, oh, okay, maybe one's here. And then I walked into a conversation, much like James was talking about the other quest, where they were talking about the Reeklings taking over the meat hall and how they feel like really embarrassed and they need to do something. And then the girl, I forgot her name now, turned to me and she's like, oh, you know, can you help us or whatever? And so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go help you. Because, like, that's just embarrassing to have your meat hall taken over by little goblins.
Guess what happens when you help the goblins?
they summon every so often. They randomly summon.
No. I'm talking about the plot, not the reward.
Oh, okay.
So basically at the end, they're like, come and help us beat these Nords. And so you say, okay, I'll do that. And you go, and the Nords are attacking, so you run and meet them at the middle, and you kill all the Nords. And then the chief's like, you're really strong, you want to be the chief now, so I have to fight you because I need to be the strongest. And he's like, no, I don't want to fight you. He's like, no, we're going to fight because I want to be the strongest. So you actually have to kill the chief anyway. And after that, yeah, then you get that reward that every now and then they just pop up out of nowhere and help.
That's crazy.
When you help Bujold, Scott,
yeah.
You end up when she gets you to the end of the cave of Hrothgar, and he finds her wanting for having been such a wussy to completely lose out to these weaklings.
I didn't feel like backing her up. I felt like it was wrong to lie to her fellows, and I thought that he had a good point because her weakness led to them getting kicked out. And yeah, I was like, yeah, that was embarrassing. So I said, no, I'm not backing you up. And then she said, well, I got to attack you. And I was like, okay. So I killed her. And I went back there, and I haven't talked to her husband yet. So that'll be an interesting conversation.
Awkward. So you've met the Skarl, Mackie. You've been to their village?
I have not. I have not gotten up over there. I was close to there when I was doing one quest from Ravenrock, but I came out of there overloaded, and I just wanted to dump all this crap.
What do I worry about? Do the main plot, well, half of the main plot, and you'll get there anyway. Just do the first act. I call that Act 1. So I finished Act 1, and you get through Murax Temple and come out the other side of the Skarl and meet the Skarl. So that Act 1 is, it was pretty exciting. I would say that I really enjoyed it. And the whole everybody on the island under mental control is hilarious.
Yeah, and Neloth is there, and he's looking at, are you fine? Hey, you have more strong will. Can you do that again so I can see what happens?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when I went to his giant mushroom and I realized, hey, it's you. You're that jerk that wouldn't help.
And that's very typical of a Telvanni.
Did anyone...
I actually love his speech. I love his speech where he says, I just want to see how it all turns out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't interfere. That would ruin it.
Did anyone go to that Frostmarch general thing?
That was the Fort first Frostmaw. Quest I did, basically.
Yeah, that's part of the town quest to get your house, Scott.
And it's also a callback to Blood Moon, because Fort Frostmoth is where you originally first landed and got your first set of quests.
The map?
And that guy, the general, was in that game, too.
The map between the Skyrim version and the Morrowind version, they're really similar, which is really cool.
Even walking up into Fort Frostmoth, they had the buildings and everything, even down to where the little stone dock was arranged, just like it was before. It was like kind of weird, deja vu.
Here's a plot point that got lost. I've just remembered it now. Fort Frostmoth, you go down there and you find out some woman has been experimenting with bringing people back to try and control them. Where did she go? What happened to her? I have not seen anything about her ever since.
In the Morrowind or in Solstheim? Skyrim, sorry.
Yeah, in Skyrim. I don't know. I read that journal and stuff too, but I haven't run across who she is or anything.
Are you talking about that abandoned house where No,
the woman whose journal you find who brought the general back to life. No, I haven't run across her either. She's referenced in the journal, but she's not referenced there at all.
It's possible that the general killed her. We've actually lost Austin. He's having internet troubles, but we'll push on. So it's possible the general killed her. He said that the general was getting more and more paranoid that she was a spy. And technically, you know, she was a bad person, and he was right to be suspicious of her. But he was, you know, stuck in ghost mode, so obviously he wasn't going to think straight anyway.
Unless she's hiding out somewhere on the island. I mean, it's a big place and there's a lot to do.
Yeah, I just haven't run into all sorts of
nooks and crannies.
Some of the nooks. I've almost been everywhere and got cleared on all the dungeons. So that's what I'm trying to do, is to finish absolutely everything.
Well, speaking of side dungeons, since we're not talking main plot, you mentioned this afternoon, the scholar you meet over in the Skull Village. If you get a certain ways along in the main plot, if you rescue, you do have to be in the main plot. If you've rescued the blacksmith.
Can I just talk about the blacksmith thing for a second?
Yeah.
So you told that there are four elves that have taken the blacksmith and you go and track them down. When I came across them, we got into a big fight. And at this point, for whatever reason, when I would shoot someone and they would get paralyzed, when they would fall, they would glitch and often fly high up into the sky and then land and die. And this one...
You got the awesome glitch.
It was only temporary, and you know, I restarted Skyrim and it went away, but it was really weird. But what happened was I was fighting one of the Thalmor on some rocks, and he paralyzed, fell down, and started spinning around really fast, and then shot off into nowhere. And I killed the other three elves, and Serena just disappears. I was like, where'd she go? She eventually comes back later, and I'm looking around trying to figure out how to open up this darn door. And I look at the three bodies, and they don't have a key. And I read around, and in the wiki people are adamant that one of the elves will have the key, which leaves only the guy who shot off to oblivion, you know. So given the direction that Serena came from, I started heading out that way, and probably halfway across the island I find his body, but I can't click on it. So I have to save and restart, and when I restart and come back in, I can click on him, and then I can get the key, and then I can continue the quest. But boy, oh boy, that was alarming for a bit there. I thought I was going to be stuck, because there's no info on the wiki about what the key ID is, so I couldn't create the key from the console.
That sucks.
I've only seen one creature bounce like that. It wasn't one of the elves. I saw a Spriggan, you know, one of the burning Spriggans. I saw one of them do that. You know, over by the headwaters of whatever it is. I saw one of them do that. Spin, 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 and then off into outer space.
Yeah, I actually hired a guy in Ravenrock. I think his name was Teldrin Sora. And he's going on about every time I go to Whiterun, he would go, "Oh, look at Whiterun, the jewel of Skyrim. It's not much to look at, but Blacklight, now that's a town." And he would say that every 5 seconds. He wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, but you like your capital city. We get it.
Yeah. And it was funny when I would use certain items later on that, are bad, he would make comments of, "Why are you using that? I can't believe you did that on purpose. That can't be good for you."
Just a random thought. I love the water lapping at the edge of the island.
Oh, that is very pretty.
It is.
I wish it actually, when you're in it, I wish it actually picked you up and moved you. Like, it looks like it ought to.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
Well, at the very north edge of the island, there are cliffs. And when I was going along there, I actually thought for a second, well, I could get dunked here and this could actually hurt me, but that didn't happen. So it would be nice if they'd done that. But you know what they really need to improve? The followers who say things like, "Wow, this place is really beautiful. I'm glad I'm here with you." And then immediately say, "This must be that Skyrim weather I've heard so much about." And, and then you walk out of the cave. There's a cave. I wonder what's in there. Well, we just came from
there. Well, they've been doing the cave thing since the base game.
So anyway, there are a lot of really good improvements in this. Oh, they added spears. You know, everybody was asking for spears. Oh, we really want spears. Well, the spears.
Yeah, they're arrows.
They work like arrows. That's right. You run out of normal arrows, and suddenly your bow's pulling back this big, meaty spear, and you're like, what the?
Well, I haven't picked up any of the spears, but I know I'm out of good arrows when suddenly I find myself shooting Forsworn.
That is bad.
Yeah, I chewed through a lot of arrows in this place. There's just not a lot of trade that you can do on this island.
No, the only trade you can do, the best way to trade is to get the black book that gives you the black market so that you can summon the Dremora merchant, and then every time you need to sell something, you get him. He always has 1,500.
You have to wait 2 days, though, and he's only got 2,000 max.
1,500? The blacksmith in Ravenrock has over 2,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and because I do smithing, I also buy stuff off of him, which puts more in, and so I can sell off his sets of Nordic carved armor.
But he wouldn't buy my dragon bones. I don't. The alchemist would, but he wouldn't. I don't understand that.
That's weird. Did you have your speech thing where they can buy all the items?
No, I don't have that one.
Okay,
I have useful stuff.
Yeah, the blacksmith actually doesn't buy much of anything.
Yeah, I just have so much money and jewels and stuff in this game, it's ridiculous now. Because I did the Jagged Crown as my primary focus when I started. So halfway I already had that, and I'm walking around with about 250,000 gold in my pocket. And that's not even all my jewels that are stashed in all my homes.
Same here. Same here.
It's pretty funny.
Well, thanks to the generous level appropriate stuff I'm getting from the quests in terms of, cash rewards, I'm this close to getting that 100,000 gold achievement finally.
Uh-huh. Oh,
Which,
wow.
You were saying that when you played this on Xbox,
you will get a lot of gold on Solstheim. If you play through this, I came through this on the Xbox with something like 8,000 gold because I had gotten that guy to 78 the hard way because on the Xbox you don't have the console. And by the time I came out of Solstheim with that character, and I didn't do everything, because I've done quests in the PC playthrough that I never even saw on the Xbox, but by the time I came out, I was back over 100K again.
Yeah, there's a lot of money to be had in this place. I mined up all of that special ore, but I got that. I don't actually have the smithing skill to use it. I really want to make my own plain armor so I can enchant it all the way I want it. But I'll have to work on that. I might get buy some glass armor from someone somewhere.
I like the Nord carved Nord armor, but the bear helmet just looks kind of goofy. I don't know. Just maybe I've seen too many silly.
It's a steel carved bear helmet.
I don't know. I've seen too many weird cartoon characters with bear helmet things that just are so goofy, and it just I don't know. It ruined the bear image for me, I think.
One of those gigantic strider majiggers is parked out near the mushroom house as well. Yeah, I don't think you can do anything with it, but that guy has an attunement sphere that you need for a later challenge, so you may as well buy that off him when you get the chance, but don't sell it.
Yeah, he has one of those things goes in one of the dungeons. The Dwemer dungeons.
Actually, we'll talk about that, because I've talked about this with James before, and it sounds like you know a bit about it, but James had not done it. So you need to get 4 of these special attunement peg thingies And the Dwemer dungeon that's right next to the Mirax temple entrance, if you go down there, there's a door, and the door has a pattern on it, and you go and put that pattern into this 3x3 peg thing, and it's a challenge room. All these, you know, Dwemer Mechanites come out and attack you, and when you've completed that, the first door opens, you go through and you get a reward, which is a Dwemer spider that is your like a follower, like a pet. And then the next door has another pattern on it, which requires 3 pegs. You go back and you put that pattern in, and you get the next round, and you've got to fight all that stuff, which is significantly harder. Beat that one, the door opens, and you get a Dwarven Sphere Master as a pet. Yeah, and then...
I get robot pets, finally.
And then the third door requires 4 pegs. Now, you get 2 pegs when you come into the place. You can buy one from the guy with the giant strider, and you get one... You can get one out of 2 different dungeons. One dungeon is the one with the boiler room puzzle, which is really hard. And the other one, I think you can get in the main quest, but I missed it. So then you put in the four pattern, and you do the final round, which is really, really hard. Don't go in the water. And that door opens, and you should have gotten a centurion pet, but it's broken. So... But that's a really cool Dwemer special dungeon right there, and there's a couple of
mini giant death robot following me. Dang it!
Yeah, it's a real shame. So let's talk about the treasure hunt. Now you said you were trying. You looked in the mead hall for the treasure. Did you not look at the treasure map at all?
I did, and I was going in that direction. Well, actually, at first I didn't look at the map that much, and I thought that there would be like a camp symbol. It wasn't that I saw the mead hall, it was just I saw the little camp symbol, which was the same as the where I got the helmet, which was like right outside of dungeon. One of the main questline dungeons, I think it was the one where you have to... yeah, you go there with, I can't remember her name either, damn. Freya. It's the place where you go with Freya, and when you go right out of there, it's like a stone's throw away. And so, like I said, I found that, and then when I realized that was the wrong place, I actually looked at the map and then went hunting for the other 2 pieces, which I found. And I'm still looking for that last one, which is somewhere near the Mushroom House.
Yep, it's just around the side. So if you follow the edge around the side on the outside of it, you'll find it. That was the last piece I picked up too. And then you get the final real part of the Death Brand treasure hunt, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. The coolest dungeon. Well, there's a lot of cool dungeons on this island, but this is one of the cool dungeons. You go in there, and there's this dead guy there with these journals saying that he's locked himself in this dungeon because there are pirates outside and he doesn't want them to get them. Obviously he ran out of food and died or something, and he said that there's a draft. So if you've got the ancient Nord pick, I think you need it to chop away the silstone or whatever
you
do. So that's another quest that you do in town. Then you chop away one of the coffins and it opens up a passage leading in, and then you use the key that you get from the last chest to open up that room, and it is filled with treasure. It's a full-on pirate treasure discovery chamber. It's awesome. So you collect all that stuff up, and then you go through the next door, and at the very end is a special sword. You pick that up, and the pirate and his crew come back as ghosts, and you have to fight them. It's awesome.
Speaking of the rewards, did you like the final one that you get for the main part? I'm not going to say any of it,
no,
but did you like that
I didn't.
One? No.
James, you could talk about this because, you know, the reward is just so anticlimactic for me. Mackie won't care that we spoil it for her, I don't think.
It's kind of like the finishing of the main quest in the main game. You know, when you kill Alduin, you know, you're like, okay, well, that wasn't that hard. Even on expert, it wasn't that hard.
Oh, it was a good battle, but we shouldn't be talking about the battle. Let's talk about the reward.
Right, sorry. The reward, I remember this being mentioned that there was a mod that did this similar thing where you could get rid of perk stars by using dragon souls, and now you can just wipe out an entire tree with using a dragon soul, and then you get the perks back and you can reapply it wherever.
Right.
I liked it, but... Yeah.
Well, it depends on what you're doing. If you're playing characters like the ones Michael and I are playing now, where you've been strategically using your perks and not just wasting them along the way, it's not that useful. I mean, really, if you have the kind of character I have right now, and the one Michael's playing, certainly, just not that useful. On the other hand, when I did this on the Xbox and I had this guy that I had gotten to level 78 and I had a whole bunch of perks wasted, I mean completely wasted in trees that I didn't care about, you know, like one or two perks in Illusion and one or two in Alteration and one or two over in this, that, or the other thing. When I had that guy, that was actually useful because I wiped out perks all over the place that I'd wasted just on the quest to get to level 78 to spawn in a legendary dragon. And that, then I was able to put them back in places like one-handed or two-handed or someplace that I actually cared about. So with that character, yeah, it was highly useful. But if you're playing the kind of character that Michael and I are playing now, yeah, nothing.
There were plenty of other good rewards along the way, and I enjoyed the final fight a lot. And we could have Mackie put on her earmuffs again and talk about that fight, but let's wait for the end for that. So that instead of having her come in and out all the time.
We went pretty long with this discussion, so we'll be releasing part two a few days from now. Thanks for listening to Thomecast. Missed an episode? Need to subscribe to the iTunes feed? Want to join the Facebook group? Want to follow us on Twitter? Want to join the Steam group? Find all of these links and more at www.jarober.com/Thomecast. That's Thumcast.